Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's time for the BallQuest Mailbag Podcast, answering your questions from the general's quarters every week, right here on BallQuest. Hey, everybody. Welcome into the BallQuest Mailbag Podcast here on this Thursday morning. I'm Eric Kane alongside Brent Hubbs, Rob Lewis sliding on in here, Austin Price. Got plenty of things to get into. We're checking the mailbag today. But first, remember, guys, $29.95, the deal until kickoff, $29.95, a BallQuest.com subscription up until kickoff. So go ahead and take advantage of that and continue to grow the family over on the general's quarters.
Was that a Chris Collinsworth slide in by Rob Lewis there? Was that what he was pulling off?
Did he come sliding in that way?
That was pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
Gonna start being the new thing here on the VolQuest pods every Tuesday and Thursday. Let's start with Zeusify. What are you most looking forward to seeing in spring practice besides Nico, Austin?
For me, it's James Pierce. It's Tyree West. It's Josh Josephs. Get them through the winter workouts and see how much they've grown. And you know, to me, it's not necessarily the true freshmen. It's the guys that are wrapping up at the end of their freshman year, heading into their sophomore campaign. For me, that's kind of what I'm looking forward most to. And then maybe John Campbell. You know, I mean, Tennessee's play is going to be dictated by the offensive line play, by the tackle play. And, we've not seen him live.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for me it's more about what you hear about practice because, unfortunately, we probably won't get to watch near as much as we'd like to get to watch. But for me, Rob, it's the transfers because I think when you look at who they have brought in, they really targeted some guys to fill some very clear holes, whereas other transfer years, it was trying to build roster depth, right? But you bring in John Campbell to play. You bring in McCassell's the tight end because he's got to play. So for me, it's a lot about what those transfers look like because Tennessee's banking on some real plug and play situations there with those guys.
Yeah, at linebacker in particular, that's a big one. And for me, it's just maybe just the defensive backfield in its entirety. I mean, do any of the freshman corners, do they have a legit shot to play? Is there really going to be competition at safety? Or is it going to be, plug and play the veterans, from last year? So just defensive backfield, they're bringing in, some exciting talent. They have some younger guys on the roster, like Christian Charles. Does he find a home at safety? Just in general, the two deep in the defensive backfield, corner and safety, is that legit competition? Do the young guys have a chance?
The safety position would not be plug and play. It would be mud and play.
AP, come on, AP.
I mean, but Eric, this spring feels different because there's an establishment there, right? They've got a lot of established players. It doesn't feel like 10 of them are going to be, in a sling or on crutches, rehabbing from surgery like we saw last year in the defensive backs. So there is some more targeted things, and it feels like this spring is going to have a higher level of competition to it for playing time or for spots or pecking order, if you will, than maybe the first couple of springs did.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there are some position groups that are up for grabs, no doubt. Offensive tackle. Again, everybody says it's going to be John Campbell. That's why you went out and got him. But, nothing's given. You got to come in here and, get this offense down, get this tempo down. Look at the safety position you guys mentioned, the cornerback position, some of these other spots, those rotational spots on the defensive line. I mean, there are some spots up for grabs, no doubt. And, for two, I got two. One would be the safety spots. Where is Danico Slaughter? Who is practicing at safety? Is Slaughter there? Is Christian Charles there? Is Wesley Walker there? I mean, who's practicing at safety? And then my other one would be those mid-year linebacker, enrollees, those three guys. I'm excited to see kind of if there's any talk, any chatter about them. Squirrel White was the name that was mentioned a ton last spring, and it turned out that he did some things in the fall, and so I'll be intrigued to see what that looks like.
You're excited to see if Arian Carter is a young Eric Kane.
The dream should aspire higher than that.
Speaking of mud and blood.
Is there any doubt that to you guys that Danico Slaughter should not be a corner? Am I the only one that thinks that that's like a lay down? I know it's not, but am I the only one that thinks that that should be a lay down, that he's a coverage guy?
I don't think it should be a lay down, Brent, because I think he was the best cornerback they had last year, and that's, I know he might be better at safety.
He should be a corner.
I mean, he should be a lay down to be a corner.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Safety.
Yeah.
I mean, like, to me, like, he should be like, you're the starter on this side. Like, yeah, it should be Slaughter Island over there. Like, you go do your thing. Like, I don't understand. I mean, with where they are with safety and the fact they haven't rotated some guys back there, to me, Danico Slaughter should be like, yeah, I've got no desire to play safety. I know he likes that position, but it's like, I'm good. Leave me out there.
AP, that should not be confused with Savage Island, where you just got back from for 2 weeks.
I did love someone posting something about Pound Town on the board the other day, and I just laughed.
It's a family show. Come on.
I read that to my wife. Slaughter Island, the only island I did not visit in the last couple of weeks.
Speaking of the secondary,
you'll find a way to get there, AP. I'm sure you'll find a way to get to one.
Yeah. Gator Dog, pre-spring, who would you start at safety if you were the coach? Kind of on this note here.
Anybody new, man. Anybody new. I'm sorry. Like, again, good kids, but they've got to have an open. I'm not saying that it can't be who's been back there. But to me, it's got to be a full-blown open competition to get better. You've got to be more athletic in the back end.
You've got to get faster.
You've got to get faster. You've got to be just better. And so, like, to me, like, there can't be any perceived starters. And I get the notion on the board, which is, you know, until I see it otherwise, like, that's what it's going to be. I mean, because right now, that's what we've seen through 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, at more athletic, obviously faster, just a guy who makes plays, right? Like a guy who's in, who can get themselves in position to make plays and then make the play. Like, they just haven't made, whether they're fast enough. I mean, yeah, they're not fast enough to overcome a mistake, but they're also haven't been instinctive enough back there to put themselves in a position to make a play.
Look at Theo Jackson.
Just play somebody who can make a play is all I'm saying. Not who's 7 yards behind him to make the tackle. Go make a play on the ball. Put somebody back there who's going to play that way.
Well, to Hubs' point, I know Hubs is going to go, amen, yes, this is what I've been saying. Danico Slaughter did more on plays on the ball, interceptions, in the last month of the season than Warren Burrell's done in his entire career at corner. Same type thing at safety. You've got to have guys that go make plays and not – just guys that are back there that, you know what they're doing, and they're, you know, you don't worry too much.
I mean, Robin, this day and age, with as much as the ball's in the air, you got to have people back there who can make a play, who instinctively can go find the football. And as a safety spot, they've just not had enough of that, in my opinion, the last few years.
Totally agree. I mean, I don't have anything to add. You got to get faster. You got to have guys back there that can cover ground and do different things.
How about the three of you actually answer the question, though? Give me two guys who you want to see out there day one.
Well, I mean, I want to see what Jordan – I mean, I want to see what Jordan Thomas looks like, right?
Yep.
But I don't know that he's ready to go play. I mean, Danico Slaughter might be your best safety, but he may be your best corner, you know?
Have we seen enough of Wesley Walker at safety? I mean,
he's in that rotation. I mean, whether or not he's the plays every snap or not, at least, you know, he's made some plays at the line of scrimmage. He misplayed a ball in the Orange Bowl, but he's in position on the ball. I mean, Wesley Walker would be where I would start, and then we'll see. To me, after that, it's wide open, because what does Jordan Thomas do? What does Christian Charles do? You know, do you move Danico Slaughter back there? I mean, that's what spring's about. I mean, I don't think they should come out of spring with two starters. I really don't. I think that competition should carry itself into fall camp. I don't think 15 days with different bodies looking at different combinations back there is enough practice time to say, okay, we're set in the back end. I don't see that personally.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what spring practice is for. Doolittle Vol, would you say 24 recruiting is going to be better than expected, as expected, or worse than expected based off the feedback you've gotten from recruits to this point? And how many commitments should we expect between now and the end of spring practice?
I'll go with, about like what's expected. I've got the dog running around in here because, it's a snow day or, non-snow day that the kids got out of school.
It was take a holiday today in your county. We've got a snow day to burn. Let's use it. as it's 44 degrees outside and there hasn't been a snowflake in the last month.
We do the wink again. I think it's going to go about what I expected, which is I think they'll have a better class than this past year on the whole. But you're not going to have maybe the star power because you don't have Nico in this class. You're not going to have a quarterback like Nico. But I think you can have a deeper group of players overall. So maybe not number of four stars, I think they'll be greater than this past class. But, I'm not sure that you're sitting there with, multiple five stars in this 2024 class. I just think it's going to be deeper.
And you're not going to have the number one overall recruit in the country to boost your stock.
No.
There you go.
Nashval 94 wants to know, Rob, could we get an update on 23 and 24 basketball recruits? Who's Tennessee pushing for, and if we lead for anyone?
23 right now, unless, some international guy pops up or somebody asks out of an NIL because of a coaching change, I think they're probably – I don't know that I see a 23 kid popping up. Somebody could appear out of nowhere. 24-wise, Cam Scott from down in South Carolina, probably the guy I would put at the top of the board, number 12 in the on-3 rankings. Really nice shooting guard. Been here for an unofficial visit. Tennessee's trying to get it back in February for an official. Juke Harris is a guard from over North Carolina. It's been here a couple times. Ahmad Null is originally from Memphis. He's a point guard. He plays at a prep school up in Philadelphia. He's definitely on the short list. So Tennessee needs to get him on campus. But I would say Cam Scott, Juke Harris, two guys that have been here a couple times unofficially. Juke Harris has been here officially. Those are guys I would put at the top of the board.
Rob, that was a great answer. I'm sitting over here laughing at Max just peering right over the right shoulder of Austin Price that entire time. Does he want to say something?
Where's Flash at, Rob? Where's Flash? You got your Basset Hound.
Well, there he is.
The dog.
Looks like you can tell the difference in the households. Max very interested in what is going on in football recruiting. And Flash is like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Molly, not so
much. Molly is like, yeah, whatever. Molly.
There she is. All right, let's move on here. Let's go to Nashville 615. With so much emphasis on 2024 recruiting class correlated with 11-2 Orange Bowl season, will it be disappointing if Tennessee is in the top three SEC recruiting class? Should 23 class quality ranking be the floor in terms of expectations?
I don't know. You know, they were fringe top 10 this year, guys. I thought their class was great. Filled needs. Could it have been better? Yeah, sure. You could add, better tackle, overall. I like Sham, but you could have added another big time tackle. You could have added, a couple other pieces, a big time running back. But again, Tennessee thinks they got a big time running back in Cam Seldon, but Seldon's one of those guys that's kind of a tweener. As far as like, is he a receiver? Is he a running back? He's both. They're going to move him around. I think ultimately, top three in the SEC. I don't get all in my feels about such things because ultimately Florida can be not very good, but they're going to recruit really, really well. Look, they were a fringe top 10 team this year too, and they were terrible. you know, and I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you just have so many, you know, big time players within a stone's throw of your campus, a drive from your campus. It's a lot easier to get to Gainesville for all those kids than it is to get to Knoxville. You know, and I know that's, that people don't like hearing those things, but it's just true. I mean, they're always going to recruit well there. So to me, you've got to recruit well enough, and you've got to, you know, fill needs. Again, I get like the premise of what Shannon Terry said, or what Jesse kind of expanded upon with his column, to get past the Georgias and Alabamas, you've got to have, you know, just more and more and more and more elite players. But at the end of the day, like, to me, you've got to recruit well enough and develop. You can have great players, and if you don't develop them, it don't matter. Josh Heupel has proven he can develop. Glenn Ellerbe's proven he can develop, so on and so forth. Now, if you can get the top-end guys and develop those guys, that's where you take it over the top. So, yeah, you want to get the top-end guys. But, like, to me, like, you don't have to be top three in the league or whatever. And I just think that some of that's overblown.
Well, I think the reality is where Georgia's at right now is historic, okay? Because Georgia's never been there. Okay?
Always been stacking that, right?
You know, stacking the classes that they're stacking and winning championships. They've not done that. Alabama's the only other school that's been in that conversation. I think if you're in the top 10, top 12, and you can develop and those guys pan out and you don't lose 10 of your signees and all those types of things, then I think you have a chance. Sure. We saw a 50-point blowout, Rob, in the national championship game because TCU's highest-ranked recruiting class was in the 30s over the last four-year period, and Georgia's was in the top five every year. That is a large disparity in talent, right? That's a great gap in talent. If you're in the top 10 to the number one, there's a gap there, but the gap is not like a 40-point gap like we saw in the national title game with TCU, where they just didn't have enough talent to compete with Georgia on that stage. But if you're in the top 10 in this league, you're signing a pretty good class.
If you're in the top five in this league, you're in the top 10 nationally. I mean, to AP's point, Florida should recruit better than Tennessee every year. I would throw LSU in there just because of local talent.
Yep.
And the way Alabama and Georgia are going right now, I mean, it's like Hubbard said, it's historic. So, I mean, if you can finish fifth in the SEC, I mean, I'm not trying to concede anything or say Tennessee should always be satisfied with that. Let's talk about the landscape right now. Georgia and Alabama are on a different plane, and LSU and Florida should always be an easy recruiting job. And it's just, you know, at Tennessee, you've got to go find Jamal Lewis, Carl Pickens, Heath Shuler. Who else was in the Rodney's historic class? Fred Weary.
Yeah, but
Cozy Coleman.
Here's the thing at those times, and I'm not discrediting the accomplishment of getting those guys, and I'm not discrediting the accomplishment of anything Philip Fulmer achieved. Georgia was bad during that. Clemson was bad. Alabama was down.
LSU was down.
I mean, like, you look around, Georgia should never be bad. Ever, with the recruiting soil they have, they should always be in the commit. That's why a lot of people in this league thinks that's the best job in the conference. LSU should never be bad. Like, LSU should look at the Jerry DiNardo, Curly Hallman days of the 90s and go, what in the Sam Hill were we doing? Like, they should not be bad, you know, because of the recruiting bases that they have to deal with. And you know, those schools were down, and Tennessee took full advantage of it. And Tennessee deserves every bit of credit for that. But Tennessee going 45-5 in the landscape of this league right now, like they did in the 90s, I don't think is a very realistic, attainable goal. That's not to say you can't win a championship, but you're not going to dominate the landscape like you did in that stretch when it was a two-team league for 4 or 5 years with Florida. And that's what it was.
Yeah, I mean – more fertile recruiting grounds, A&M, LSU, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, you know, than Tennessee. Like, and that's just facts. And so, you know, you've got to, you know, sell other things. You've got to overcome some of those obstacles. Again, Tennessee, Hubs is right. The discrepancy and the difference between top 2-3 and top 7 or 9, not a whole lot. And you know, and that's I would stick with that. Their class, Alabama's class, was filthy this year. But like, if Tennessee hits on David Hobbs and they hit on Tyree West and they hit on, you know, the pass rushers and the linebackers, Tennessee's class defensively, I'll put it up against right there with just about anybody's, the corners.
Yeah, you got to develop them and you got to keep them, right? Because what is December becoming as much as anything else when we're talking about the transfer portal, Eric? Right? It's roster management, but it's roster retention.
Yep.
Can you keep your elite players, your elite talent in your program to the point they get to the field to help you, or do they leave you, right? And that's going to be that's the interesting challenge for coaches moving forward. It's not just getting them, because used to when you got them, nobody was going to take a year off and set out and wait. You had to be pretty miserable to transfer or get run off. Now, hey man, I'm out. I'll take the greener pastures. And that's why your roster retention is going to be such the catchphrase for everybody moving forward because of the portal.
We go from Nashville 615 to Nashville Vol 615. So Ohio State just released their financial reports for the 2022 year, set a school record for them. Has Tennessee released theirs? Have to imagine this could be a record year for athletic revenue.
Yeah, fiscal year for Tennessee is July to July or July to June. So those numbers are not out yet. But, yeah, it's obviously going to be a, you know, everything's up at Tennessee. Everybody's smiling on campus right now, and with good reason, right? Applications are up. They're building buildings. They're ranked in the polls everywhere, and everybody's getting raises and you're writing checks. So there's not a lot of people walking around with a lot of frowns on their faces on campus right now, but the actual numbers won't be revealed until the fiscal year rolls over.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Rob, got a couple of hoops questions for you from Vulcan. For the life of me, I've never understood why teams don't run 4 high and post Zakai's defensive assignment or 5 high and run Zakai Ziegler's man through the lane. Texas is the first team that I've seen even try that. They did it once in the first half successfully. Didn't go back to that until middle of the second half where he tried it twice only. Do you think this is because guards today never learned to post up, or is this a help defense of the Vols that is respected? Seems a mystery to me. I'd run it until the Vols stop it.
Yeah, well, I think help defense is a big part of it. But also, I mean, I watch a lot of college basketball. I don't know if the guy posted the question does or not. I don't see a lot of guards posting up. I mean, I don't think it's a skill that a lot of guys have. I mean, watch Tennessee. I mean, you see Josiah do it sometimes, but he's 6'6", 6'7". I mean, he's not your typical guard. So to me, that's just not a skill that a lot of guys have. I mean, in the NBA, yes, but I mean, what? There's going to be a million college basketball games on tonight. Watch and see how many times you see a guard get the ball in the low post. It just it doesn't happen much.
And Rob, I mean, here's the other thing too. I mean, for that to work, your 5 guy has to be able to drag his defender out there, right?
Yes.
Which means he's got to have to shoot, be able to shoot a jump shot. It's not like the NBA where everybody's positionless, right? Everybody can shoot from the perimeter in the NBA for the most part. So how many teams are going to – they're going to take their post player and leave Zakai or leave a guard by himself in the paint because they're worried about the 5 man on the wing making a 17, 18-foot jump shot? That's just not going to happen very often.
And Tennessee's – I mean, if it's a small lineup with Olivier at the five, they're switching everything. Right. I mean, they're not. I mean, they're switching one through five, and even if Adu is out there with Josiah at the four, they're switching one through four. So it's not as easy just to, you know, as some people might think, to say, hey, we're going to take Zakai down a low block and post up our guard who really does not have any kind of back to the basket game to begin with. And the only reason we're doing that is because Zakai's 5'7". So I don't think you see a lot of, you know, college guards that have Kevin McHale's post moves.
All right, Rob, finish the sentence. Vols basketball is best when these three players play the most minutes.
Zakai, Santiago, Josiah.
And a comparison question. If the Vols make the weekend, if Vols make weekend three in March Madness, which player has emerged as the Vols' most consistent offensive threat? Zakai, Santi, Josiah, Julian Phillips, or Olivier?
I don't think anything is going to change much. I mean, they got five guys that can score, you know, roughly double digits. I mean, I don't think you're going to see one guy. I mean, Santi's the leading scorer right now in SEC play, around 12 points a game. I don't think you're going to suddenly see Santi scoring 18 points a game or Josiah scoring 16 points a game. I mean, I don't think there's going to be a lot of change. It's going to be, you know, I'm not trying to dodge the question, but I don't think you're going to see somebody suddenly separate themselves from the pack and be, you know, scoring, you know, 18, 19 points a game. What Tennessee is what they're going to be a month from now.
Rob, am I wrong in feeling this way? Zakai is going to get points. He's going to play. And Santiago is going to do those things. Josiah is going to get his shots. If Tennessee is deep in the run, those are givens, right? Doesn't it have to be either Josiah being really hot for three weekends or Olivier giving you, not 27, but giving you consistent points if Tennessee is going to go that deep? Because you know what you're going to get with your backcourt night in and night out. They have proven themselves, and I would throw Josiah into that proven category, whereas the yo-yo of Olivier is, you know, if he doesn't show up, then it's all on the guards to make plays. If he shows up, aren't they different offensively?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Hubbard. I mean, okay. I don't think Olivier can go out in the second round or certainly the Sweet 16 and score, you know, have 6 points and two rebounds and Tennessee have a good day at all.
All right, let's move on here. We got a couple here from Athron. First, thoughts on the new preferred walk-on quarterback, Austin Price?
I mean, Ron Dammer's a good, solid player. Tennessee needed to add depth. And, you know, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum. Like, I just think it was going to be near impossible to bring in a scholarship quarterback unless you could do the Clemson route. And those guys that are looking to be GAs, you know, are few and far between. You know, most of those, like, you know, Tennessee, you know, I think probably would have entertained the idea of bringing JT Shrout back. But JT Shrout wants to play. Like, very few of them want to just hold a clipboard and start working towards being a coach. And so, if you can find one of those guys, man, you better gobble them up. You gobble them up. Like Clemson's done the last couple of years, they've done a nice job of that. Ron Dameron's a good solid player. He played well at Henry County. And, but at the end of the day, I mean, you know, he's probably never going to play a down here, but, you know, he'll get to run through the tee and he'll get to go through practice and, you know, and you know, give the scout team a look.
Yeah, 3 inches taller, he would have been a fascinating prep quarterback. He would have been, yeah, would have been a fascinating recruitment at 2.5, 3 inches taller than what, yep, he is right now.
Who do you see taking over the H-back role now that Fant has graduated? That is a tight end position, so whoever's in the game at tight end will line up at the H-back if the formation calls for it. Is there something just different about kids from New York, Rob? Zakai and Toby Awaka as example.
Yeah, I mean – I wouldn't go that far in this stereotype, you know, every, you know, prospect or recruit that comes out of there, but
you were a big Brian Williams fan.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't. That's a great example. AP though, Brian Williams, I mean, and love Brian Williams, but I mean, you know, that's an example of a kid that's not Tobey Awaka. I'll just put it like that. So, I mean, you get some guys like that. I mean, Zakai's a different breed. I don't think it's necessarily because he's from New York. I mean, he's just got something inside him that sets him off. But there, you know, there's some of that. But there's a million kids that come out of New York every year, and they are not all Zakai Ziegler.
It's all about the personality, right, Rob? It's like I always kind of chuckle at the notion, like, like Al Wilson played harder because he was wearing a Tennessee uniform. I mean, Al Wilson would have done at Notre Dame or wherever he went. He would
or
have
UT Martin.
The same way. Yeah, he would have played the same way. So, you know, it's about who the individual is, not where they're from or who they're, you know, what uniform they're putting on.
Yeah, so, I mean, I wouldn't – I mean, you get some tough kids out of New York, but I just, you know, I wouldn't just make a blanket statement that, you know, New York guys are tougher. I mean, I think you got a couple – kids in Zakai and Tobey who, if they had grown up in Jacksonville, Florida, would have had the same thing.
To quote Rooster from Top Gun Maverick, it's not about the plane, it's about the pilot in the box.
Big Ball Lab wants to know, it seemed like the defensive backs consistently gave too much cushion. Is that more of a function of their talent or scheme? Are coaches telling them to not get beat deep and to play further off the line? Brent, this is something that was talked about earlier in the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit – I don't think they're telling a guy who's lining up 10 yards off the ball backpedal 10 more yards before or as the ball snapped. I don't think that's how it's been. I think part of it is
confidence.
Your confidence. You know, it's your confidence, right? I mean, it's the same way if you're a basketball defender. If you're worried about getting beat, you know, and the guy crossing you up, you may not have the confidence to get in his grill 22 feet from the basket, right? You're going to back up and give him some more room. So I think part of that is confidence. Some of it's scheme when you get into some zone looks and some different things like that. But, you know, again, when it's third and six and you're lining up 6 yards off the ball and your first, you know, seven or eight steps are backwards, that's an easy first down completion. They've got to be tighter. There's no doubt about that. I think that's the thing that Danico Slaughter, that's why, I like Danico Slaughter. That's why I'm talking about Danico Slaughter out there, is because he didn't give up as much ground and he stuck his foot in the ground and, you know, and went through a receiver. I mean, he made a play in the Kentucky game. We just hadn't seen Tennessee's corners make really all season long. And it's plays like that Tennessee needs more of at the corner position. And it requires a guy with a short memory and a lot of confidence out there.
Be a goldfish, AP.
Go to Hitter. Do you keep up with our SEC rivals? Which SEC East opponent was hurt the most by the portal? Which helped themselves the most?
South Carolina was hurt the most from the portal. They lost a bunch. Now, I mean, they're hot in recruiting right now. For 24, but we'll see where that is 6 months from now. I mean, you got to be able to sustain that and hold on to kids for near a year. As far as who helped themselves. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if anybody helped themselves a ton. Who? Florida?
Florida got a quarterback. I mean, he's not great. But
Graham Mertz is just kind of, I mean, like,
got to play.
You know, I don't know. I don't think Florida helped themselves a little bit. I thought Georgia did, but then, you got all this offseason, rah-rah gets whatever, sided with whatever he got sided with. And obviously they've got all the other distractions down there. But, I mean, they'll be fine. I'm not sure anybody in the East just, like, stockpile talent from the portal. At least it just didn't feel that way to me.
No Ole Misses in the East where they're at 14 guys signed or 15 guys signed and they go and attack the portal.
The Portal King.
Yeah, which, to be honest with you, I think the Portal King nationally is Norvell at Florida State, not Lane Kiffin. I think what Florida State's done the last 2 years in the portal is better than anything Lane Kiffin's put together in terms of portal work to date. I mean, Florida State, they're focusing a lot on the portal. I mean, their last year portal class was good, not just Jared Verse, but they got help elsewhere, and they brought in, I think, a good bit of talent. I think they may be the biggest national winner in the portal.
My thing, and I agree with you 100%, like, I just don't know what Lane's doing. He brings in the kid from Kansas State. He brings in Walker Howard from LSU, and he's already had Jackson Dart. So, I mean, that pretty much signifies, like, I wasn't crazy about Jackson Dart, right? I mean, if you're bringing in two transfer quarterbacks, like, if you're Jackson Dart, what do you think? Like, probably not going to play.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's not – I mean, of course, can they go anywhere else? They're probably stuck now. I mean, but somebody at the end of the spring is not going to be very happy. Because it's not going to be what they thought it was going to be when they transferred in, or what they were told it was going to be.
Yeah, if I'm Jackson Dart, I'm probably not putting a deposit down on any fall housing.
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody can graduate and be a graduate transfer, but I mean Jackson Dart's already transferred, used his one time, and you got two others who are one time transfers. They may all be stuck.
Yep.
Also, if you're that second quarterback that came in, the essentially the third one to join that group there, I mean, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? I mean, you obviously were told, hey, you're going to start. So you're either going to get it lied to or you're just making a stupid decision, in my opinion, because, I mean, that room's crowded. Let's get two more. We'll go to Pine. Does football, basketball, or baseball finish higher in the year-end polls? Which sport will finish higher in the year-end polls? Football finished sixth, right?
I'll go basketball.
Okay.
As my pick, because the AP poll comes out, final AP poll comes out before tournament play, right, Rob?
After the conference tournament, because yeah, Tennessee so finished fourth finished or fifth.
Yeah, so I'll take basketball for that reason.
I don't even know when the final poll comes out for baseball. I mean, I would imagine after everything's done. So that's all hinged on, you know, getting to Omaha, I would imagine. So, I mean, that's really challenging. For that reason alone, I think Tennessee can get to Omaha, but, you know, it's tough. I'll go basketball as well.
I think the final poll comes out before the NCAA tournament begins in baseball.
I mean, it might. I've never covered it in terms of the beat.
Because teams get eliminated at different times.
Well, if that's the case, then I'll go baseball, without a doubt. Slam dunk, baseball.
I'll go golf.
Golf's not an option.
I would go baseball if the final baseball poll is done before postseason play starts.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. If that is the case, and again, I just simply don't know, then I will go baseball.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, last one. We've had one the last couple of shows, and this is again from Mr. Rocky Top Rowdy. I couldn't remember any of you guys watch The Office at all, or is that just me and Grant?
That's not me.
Well, second week in a row, we don't have anybody on here to help me out here, but Mr. Rocky Top Rowdy says, Brent is David Wallace. I can see that. This one I love. AP is Dwight, not because Dwight's crazy, but because he's really good at his job and he's the right-hand man. That makes sense. Rob is Oscar. I think Rob is more a Creed, in my opinion. Grant is Stanley, which I think makes so much sense because Stanley never talks and he's just a smart aleck, and I think that's kind of spot on. Says that I am Daryl. I'm not sure I get that one. And then Matt is Clark and Pete, which are the two young new guys, and very much on par with the Luke and Leia kids reference from How I Met Your Mother. Honorable mention, this is actually a really good one. Jesse is Todd Packer. He shows up, wrecks the site, and leaves. That's the best one right there.
Gator dog.
Bonus question. Rob, how many carton of eggs is Eric Kane worth? In a trade,
I don't really. I'm aware just from like scrolling through Twitter that eggs are apparently expensive, but I've got no real world experience of that.
Three cartons, four carton of eggs. Now, are these?
Now, here's the thing: we have our own chickens on the farm, so we have our own eggs. So we're not in the marketplace for eggs. So at this point, to me,
that tractor tire though. Hey,
that's I mean. Eric Kane's value in eggs is very debatable at this point. We have a surplus of eggs.
Oh, got to love it. All right.
You know what, AP, though, he goes to so many restaurants where there's chickens walking around.
Cats, dogs.
That was, hey, man, like, again, like, you know, my kids have watched Moana, so I always see the little chicken around in Moana. Hey, hey. But, like, I didn't realize that was such a thing in Hawaii. I mean, there were thousands and thousands of them just walking around, like, whether it be, like, in a parking lot, at a convenience store, or just walking out of the woods. Like, you'd be walking through, like, the jungle, and there'd just be this random rooster. And I'm like, if we have a shortage, man, I know where Chick-fil-A and Zaxby's are coming to.
Well, I went out to eat a couple of times in Mexico, and did not have a similar experience to Johnny Boston's whatsoever. I was a little disappointed.
Had no live animals while walking through.
Let's tell that story. Let's tell that story.
At the point in time you're eating your hamburger.
So we let Kane pick the.
Again, AP will say it. I'll provide context. Go ahead.
We let Kane pick the place to eat the first day down in Miami. And the first place we went, what didn't come up to snuff. So we left and, like, hey, we think about this. Sounds good. We pull up, and it looked like we're going to eat at the Cotton Eye Joe. Just kind of how you, like, park. The building was shaped similarly. We walk in. there's this guy at the bar. This is like middle of the day. I called it like the restaurant version of like the casino in Vegas Vacation, where they're like, you know, playing like 21 and, you know, which hand and all that stuff. And like, there's a guy at the bar and there's a cat wrapped around his neck. There's like little dogs walking around and cats walking around.
And AP is sending me pictures of animals walking around the restaurant this whole time.
I am just riding Kane at this point. At this point, I would have given him away for free. There wouldn't have been a trade for some eggs. So I'm sitting there it's like a little circle table, and I'm furthest away from where this woman walks up holding. Oh my god. While Eric and Brent, she walks up in between them and their food has just arrived and she's holding this cat. And I was like, dude, I'm telling you, it was one of the most bizarre scenes I've ever seen in my life.
I shut down after that. I mean, I was planting my flag on the ground. I was defending it. I was pissed after that. I was like,
it was Subway and Chick-fil-A the rest of the week.
It was our first, it was that Monday or whatever, and we had done stuff that morning and gone to practice and all that. And it's like 2 o'clock and Austin's bitching about trying to eat. So I'm just like, all right, we're trying to find something. We go in there and I'm like, oh, this does not look good. And Brent's like, let's check it out. Looks good. Let's sit down. Let's eat. Brent was all about it just because of the experience.
Until he saw the food and then, or not the food, but the animals. And then he kind of got a little queasy. Now I will say
food was good, though.
Agree, the food was good.
Yeah.
The food was good.
Rob, here's the best part of that. The first building we saw, we got like 3 blocks away from it. AP was out. He was out before we ever saw the parking lot, before we ever saw like if there was a door there. The building, it was like an old White Castle restaurant.
Yes, it was. Right?
Yeah. AP was done. He had checked out of that. We're not eating here. This is not going to work. And so it was time to eat. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So I walked in. I asked the lady, we're the only people in there. Y'all serve lunch? She's like, sure. I'm like, all right, let's have at it. And then, you know, it was a little bit raining outside, and here come the animals two by two, you know, just making their way through the bar. Some of the animals, like Max, got up on stage. I thought they were going to perform at one point. And then
when the lady
comes over there and goes, hey, do you like my cat? And
it was she was high.
Eric was done.
And the one waiter started yelling at her to put the cat down.
I mean, she was cracked out on like 10 different things. I'm like, lady boo.
I mean, it was a total Seinfeld scene.
I've been to many different dive bars. I've been to many different sketchy appearances, but that was fine up until we saw the livestock in there.
Eric got him a bottle koozie out of it, though.
I did.
Yeah. When the random lady asked Eric if he liked her cat, I was out.
So was I. It was not great. All right. It only went up from there. We ate pretty well the rest of the week. I'll say that. Appreciate you guys for sitting through that story and hanging out with us here on the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast. Thanks so much for the questions. We'll do it again next week. It's every Thursday right here on the show or right here on the site. If you haven't already, like this video and subscribe to the channel on YouTube. Please and thank you. And don't forget, $29.95. It's a good deal from now until kickoff. VolQuest.com subscription, $29.95. And you can join the community over at VolQuest.com. For Brent Hubbs, Max, Austin Price, Rob Lewis, and the cat at Boston Johnny's, Johnny Boston's. I'm Eric Kane. Appreciate you guys, and have a great rest of your Thursday, everybody.
You've been listening to the VolQuest Mailbag Podcast every week right here on VolQuest.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.